Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
What makes life meaningful? For too many in our godless nation, it has to do with prestige, predominance, and power. It means to receive the cheers and the applause of the masses. It means living a life that is considered successful by the world. For us, the perspective is altogether different. What makes life meaningful is to be guided by Jesus Christ, who is the way of faith, the way of love, the way of sacrifice. Today, in our scripture text, we will see both these perceptions graphically displayed. We will see leaders who are preoccupied with prestige, prominence, and power. Jesus tells us that the judgment that they face, they will be punished, not praised. On the other side is a poor widow who is giving out of her living, her poverty. Jesus, who will be the judge at the last day, praises her. 20 centuries have come and gone, but these words have not come and gone. Jesus said that the word would live on beyond all imaginings, all time, all history. We still have, at this time, sadly, religious leaders who have private planes and mansions and money pouring in and servants. They seem to live the best lives in the world's eyes. TV evangelists still struggle with the life that makes it meaningful. The text lays out a choice. Today, this day, we will choose which life is meaningful, which way we will travel. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, I pray that you will be exalted this day, that everything that is said, everything that we have sung, everything that we hear in our ears will exalt you, the Lord of life. May every voice raise. May every stone cry out, "You are Lord." May we understand the meaning of that. May we, in our dullness, in our waywardness, understand that you have come here out of love to touch each and every one of us with your word, your life-saving, life-giving word. May we understand what that means. Father, as always, I ask you that my words will be cast out, that we will not hear anything that I would say, but only the words that come from you, the words of life and death, the words that are true and can never be false, not like a man's words, but that your word will be exalted today. For we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to be reading from Mark 12, verse 38 through 48. The scripture says, "Then he said to them in his teaching, 'Beware of the scribes who devour to go around in long, desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplace, the best seats in the synagogues, the best places at all the feast, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers that they will be heard by others. These will receive greater condemnation.'" Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put in money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all of those who have given to the treasury. For they have put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." In recent times, we have been aware of hypocrites in our midst, the religious leaders who use their position to motivate others to become suicide martyrs, to kill by any means available, by explosives or bullets, by cars, by any other means they have at their disposal. They are to kill the infidel. On the other side, we see those leaders who condemn, judge, and rail against such men as though they were subhuman. We see people achieve their positions in life by any means. They put down the underclass, the throwaway people, the sick, the widow, the poor, the marginalized. We see here people talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. That's a judgment on us all. The closed doors we find when we go into our community displays a kind of disbelief in the people that go and in the faith they represent. People don't want to hear what we're telling them. They don't want to be bothered, even though we have the answer to their questions. They have been so affected by the hypocrisy that Christians are labeled with that they can't hear us. They can't hear our alarms. They can't hear our love. We are each of us tempted by the same temptations that others submit to. Each of us is a sinner saved by grace. People often say people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. We judge not lest we be judged. The passage should not make us feel superior, but it should be a warning that we too have feet of clay. We should be warned not to use the grace by which we are saved to try and protect ourselves against the judgment that is coming. We shouldn't try to use anything that God has given us to measure up to the standards of the world. Jesus tells his disciples not to lord it over people because they have been privileged to be chosen, but
Instead, he tells each of them to be servants of all. Jesus wants to use the object lesson of the teachers of the law to strengthen his disciples, to strengthen the people who follow him, to give us courage and boldness. He's saying, don't be like one of those. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Show people by your deeds that you are authentic in your faith. The law teachers were concerned about outward things. They were concerned about robes and the things they wore. They were concerned about the people and how they applauded them, how they cheered for them. That they wanted the best seats at religious gatherings. They wanted the best of everything when they went to social gatherings. They prayed long prayers in order to be heard by people and use that image that they had created to become holy people, highly esteemed in the eyes of others. And Jesus was scathing in his opinion about those who would use their religious standing to take advantage of the poor. They devoured other people's houses, the poor's houses. That's what the scripture says. That would be scandalous if anyone did that. But it is doubly scandalous when someone of religious faith does that. When someone says, I am religious, and wears all the trappings of that religious standing, and then uses that esteem, that well-wishers, that all that good things that people think about you, to manipulate, to try to gain for yourself. It calls the faith into question. Because the same self-centered greed that the world wants is a slap in the face of Jesus and everything he taught. The poor widow gave everything she had. Widow, it says, gave more than all the others because she gave from her heart, her poverty, her living, her all. Jesus had answered the question, what is the greatest command? He said, hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, with everything you have. And love your neighbor as yourself. Here the widow woman that put that command into action when she gave her money. The woman went unnoticed by the men in the temple. After all, she was only a woman. She was just a woman who was owned by her father or by her husband. All you had to do to say a woman was of no use was to wake up in the morning and look at her and say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, 3 times, and she was divorced. She couldn't go back to her family. There was no social net. She had nowhere to go except the streets, earn her living as a prostitute. She was a person of no worth, a throwaway person, a woman who was a little better than the dogs. But that poor creature was praised by the one who will judge her in the final day. A woman who had nothing to put into the offering plate. When it was passed, nothing. She didn't have any means of support. And so when the plate came by, she stood in the plate. She was giving everything she had, everything she was. She was giving herself to God. There was a 7th century confessor by the name of Maximus. He said this. He said, egotism is the source of the passions. And from egotism springs forth gluttony, conceit, and from conceit springs pride. All other vices, without exception, are merely consequences of egotism. At the beginning, all the passions are egotism. At the end, there is pride. To follow Jesus through the Bible, you get a lot of contrast. And it is a challenging thing to do. Because Jesus preaches an absolute obedience to God. Jesus calls all of us not to take the easy way, but the hard way. He doesn't tell his disciples to pick up a pillow, but a cross and follow him. To follow Jesus through the Bible, you find a lot of different ways that are possible because God has given you free will to live your life. Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount gives us vivid word pictures that we are to live by. Vivid word pictures that gives the meaning and purpose of life. If you see the applause of the crowd, you have your reward. Let me tell you, from personal experience, it is the sound of one hand clapping. It is nothing. It is useless. It is empty. You can't live your life. Spurgeon, the great Baptist minister of English fame, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said that to live your life depending upon the goodwill of others was like a man who live from the breath of other people's nostrils. He said it was a poor thing to make a meal of. What he was saying was so simple. We are to be humbled before God. He is our creator, not we ourselves. It is he who has made us, no one else. Jesus teaches us that it is possible to move beyond a life of superficial hypocrisy to one that is full of faith that leads us home to God. And that is the meaning and purpose of life. You are here struggling through this world. You may encounter many things that harm you. You may encounter many sorrows, many traumatic events. You may encounter all kinds of pain in your body and in your spirit, in your mind. But at the bottom, at the end, you are to love the Lord your God with everything you have. You are to be His. And that is the purpose of your life. That gives meaning to your life. That is the thing that we should all, every one of us, strive for.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.